Chapter 6. Arriving on Earth. The seventh planet, then, was Earth. And it is not an ordinary planet. It has 111 kings, 7,000 geographers, 900,000 businessmen, 7,500,000 drunk people, and 311 million vain men. In other words, about 2 billion grown-ups. To give you an idea of the size of Earth, I will tell you that before the invention of electricity, many lamplighters were needed. In fact, 462,511 were needed. I have not been completely honest. Trying to be witty can lead to lying, and I run the risk of giving a false idea of Earth to those who do not know it. In fact, there are not that many people on Earth. If the 2 billion people all stood up and got close together, they could easily fit into a space of 32 kilometers long and 32 kilometers wide. The grown-ups, to be sure, will not believe you when you tell them that. They imagine that they fill a great deal of space. They fancy themselves as important as the baobabs. You should advise them, then, to make their own calculations. They love math, and that will please them. But do not waste your time on this. Trust me, it is unnecessary. When the little prince arrived on the earth, he was very surprised not to see any people. He was beginning to fear that he had come to the wrong planet when a loop the color of gold uncoiled on the sand. "Good evening," said the little prince, just in case. "Good evening," said the snake. "What planet is this?" "You are on the planet Earth, in Africa," the snake answered. "Ah, and are there no people on Earth?" "This is the desert. There are no people in the desert," said the snake. The little prince sat down on a rock and looked up at the sky. "I wonder," he said, "if the stars are lit in heaven so that one day each one of us may find his own. Look at my planet. It is right there above us, but so far away."
"It is beautiful," the snake said. "What has brought you here?"
"I have been having some trouble with a flower," said the little prince.
"Ah," said the snake,
and they were both silent. The little prince looked at the snake for a long time. "You're a funny animal," he said at last. "You are no thicker than a finger."
"But I am more powerful than the finger of a king," said the snake.
The little prince smiled. "You're not very powerful. You don't have any feet. You cannot even travel."
"I can take you farther than any ship," said the snake.
He wrapped himself around the little prince's ankle like a golden anklet. "Anyone I touch, I send back to the place from which he came. But you're innocent and true, and you come from a star." The little prince made no reply.
"I feel sorry for people because they are so weak," the snake said. "I can help you one day if you grow too homesick for your own planet. I can..."
"Oh, I understand you," said the little prince. "But why do you always speak in riddles?"
"I solve them all," said the snake.
And they were both silent. The little prince crossed the desert and met with no one. After that, the little prince climbed a high mountain. The only mountains he had ever known were the three volcanoes, which came up to his knees, and he used the extinct volcano as a stepladder. "From a mountain as high as this one," he said to himself, "I shall be able to see the whole planet at one glance and all the people." But he saw nothing except more mountains. "Good morning," he said courteously. "Good morning, good morning, good morning," answered the echo.
"Who are you?" said the little prince.
"Who are you? Who are you? Who are you?" answered the echo. "Let's be friends. I'm lonely," he said. "I'm lonely, I'm lonely, I'm lonely," answered the echo. "What a strange planet," he thought.
It is all dry and sharp and hard, and the people here have no imagination. They repeat whatever you say to them. On my planet, my flower always spoke first. But it happened that, after walking for a long time through sand, rocks, and snow, the little prince at last came upon a road, and all roads lead to people. Then the prince found himself standing before a garden full of roses. The little prince stared at them because they all looked like his flower. "Who are you?" he asked, confused. "We're roses." He felt very unhappy because his flower had told him that she was the only one of her kind, and here were 5,000 of them, all alike, in just one garden. "She would be very annoyed," he said to himself, "if she saw this. She would cough terribly and pretend to be dying to avoid being laughed at. And I would have to pretend to be nursing her back to life. Otherwise, she would really allow herself to die." And then he said to himself, "I thought that I was rich, with a flower that was unique in all the world, but all I had was a common rose and 3 volcanoes that come up to my knees, and one of them perhaps extinct forever. That doesn't make me a very great prince." And he lay down in the grass and cried. It was then that the fox appeared. "Who are you?" asked the little prince, and added, "You're very pretty." "I'm a fox," the fox said. "Come and play with me. I am so sad." "I cannot play with you," the fox said. "I'm not tame." "Ah, excuse me," said the little prince. But after some thought, he added, "What does tame mean?" "You're not from around here," said the fox. "What are you looking for?" "I'm looking for people," said the little prince. "People," said the fox, "have guns and they hunt. It's terrible. They also raise chickens, and that's the only interesting thing about them. Are you looking for chickens?" "No," said the little prince. "I'm looking for friends. What does tame mean?" "Well, it would mean that there is a connection between us," said the fox. "It means to make ties. Yes, for me, you are still nothing more than a little boy who is just like 100,000 other little boys. I have no need of you, and you have no need of me. To you, I am nothing more than a fox like 100,000 other foxes. But if you tame me, then we shall need each other. To me, you will be unique, and to you, I shall be unique." "I am beginning to understand," said the little prince. "There is a flower. I think that she has tamed me."
"It is possible," said the fox. "On Earth, one sees all sorts of things."
"Oh, but my flower is not on Earth," said the little prince. The fox seemed perplexed and very curious. He wanted to know if there were hunters and chickens on that planet, because a planet with chickens and no hunters would be ideal.
"Nothing is perfect," sighed the fox when he found out that there were no chickens, but he came back to his idea. "My life is boring," the fox said. "I hunt chickens. People hunt me. All the chickens are the same, and all the people are the same. But if you tame me, my life will be filled with sunshine. I will know you. I will know the sound of your steps. They will sound like music to my ears. And look, you see the wheat over there? I do not eat bread. Wheat is of no use to me. The wheat fields have nothing to say to me, and that is sad. But you have hair that is the color of gold. Think how wonderful that will be when you have tamed me. The golden wheat will make me think of you, and I'll love the sound of the wind in the wheat."
"I'd like to," the little prince replied, "but I don't have time. I have friends to find and so many things to learn."
"The only things you learn are the things you tame," said the fox. "People don't have time to learn anything anymore. They buy things made in stores instead of making things themselves.
And since you cannot buy a friend in a store, people don't have friends anymore. If you want a friend, tame me.
So the little prince tamed the fox. And when the time to leave was near,
"Ah," said the fox, "I shall cry."
"It's your own fault," said the little prince. "I didn't want to hurt you, but you wanted me to tame you."
"Yes, that is so," said the fox.
"But I get something out of it because of the color of the wheat." And then he added, "Go and look at the roses again. You'll understand that yours is unique. Then come back to say goodbye to me, and I'll tell you a secret."
The little prince went to look at the roses again, and he understood.
"You're not like my rose," he said. "As yet you are nothing. No one has tamed you, and you have tamed no one. You are like my fox when I first knew him. He was only a fox like 100,000 other foxes, but I have made him my friend, and now he is unique. You are beautiful, but you are empty," he went on. "Of course, anyone else would think that my rose looked just like you. However, my rose is more important than all of you together. She is the one that I watered. She is the one that I put under a glass top, and she is the one I listened to. I listened to her even when she said nothing at all. She is my rose." And he went back to say goodbye to the fox.
"Goodbye," said the fox. "And now here is my secret, a very simple secret. It is only with the heart that one can see clearly. Anything important cannot be seen with the eyes." And then he went on, "It's the time you spent with your rose that makes her so important. Do not forget, you are responsible for your rose for forever because you tamed her."